show you are listening to is a new show from KCDM. We're calling it Pastor's Perspective.
Well, unless you repent, you can't possibly believe the good news. Unless you believe the good news beforehand, you're not concentrating on repenting. You're concentrating on who's responsible for the evil or the sin, especially personal sin that affects everybody individually.
Well, alms are, you know what, God has blessed us with so much. And so alms is what we give back to, for me, it's what we give back to God and to help serve the poor. Do you have time for a parable?
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of the things we have to do is to remember that what we have them because it is just a gift from God.
You ever wonder why God called someone like me to be a priest? Do you ever wonder that?
No, I have never wondered that about you.
Here's your host. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Pastor's Perspective. This is our third episode, and we hope it will be as good or better than the first two.
We can only go anywhere but up, can't
That's
we?
Right. We got nowhere to go but up. And I realized when I was editing last week's episode that I haven't introduced myself in the first two episodes. My name is Tony Miller. I'm a board member with KCDM and the host for your show. I'm glad everybody's listening and hope everyone will continue to listening. And we appreciate your support on KCDM. I'd like to welcome the pastoral posse tonight. Tonight we have Father Dennis, Father Marty.
Hello there.
And Father Mike.
Hi.
And Father James is gone off retreat. What a priest does on retreat, I think we'll hold for a future show. and what the retreat is all about. So, Father Marty, if you will start us off with an opening prayer.
You betcha. And we'll pray the same prayer we prayed the first couple of weeks, and that is the prayer for the Synod. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We stand before you, Holy Spirit, as we gather together in your name, with you alone to guide us, make yourself at home in our hearts. Teach us the way we must go and how we are to pursue it. We are weak and sinful. Do not let us promote disorder. Do not let ignorance lead us down the wrong path, nor partiality influence our actions. Let us find in you our unity so that we may journey together to eternal life and not stray from the way of truth and what is right. All this we ask of you, who are at work in every place and time, in communion of the Father and the Son, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. In
the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father Marty.
You're very welcome.
And next, I'm going to, in the first show, we had a Marty tangent. So in this show, I'm going to take a host's tangent. And I want to ask Father Marty about the synod that's currently going on. And, mm-hmm. and what is the synod and why are we doing it?
Okay, the synod right now, it's the synod on, the best way I can explain it is it's a synod of listening. In the past, we've had synods on the Bible, young people, vocations. This one is to listen because, you know, in our culture today, and I think this is a little bit of everywhere, that we fail to listen to each other. So Pope Francis has asked us to listen to one another. And so there's basically three parts to this. The first part are parish listening sessions. And so tonight we had a listening session, and they're geared around two questions. When you think of your parish, the church, local or universal, what fills your heart with joy and what breaks your heart? And so all of the answers will be compiled from the different parishes and groups of the diocese. We'll send those to the diocese, and they will put together our responses. They will be sent to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, where they will get answers from all over the country. They'll put those answers together and then send the report off to Rome. And then the Synod meets next year, Father Mike, is that right?
I believe so.
In Rome. And what they'll do is they'll come up with, how can we better listen? What are the needs? What are the concerns of the people? And one of the things that I think is important for us to remember is that, and Father James uses this a lot, if you have a big ship in the middle of the sea, you just can't turn it on a dime. It takes time to turn that ship. And so, you know, we might not get any real immediate answers from the synod, but it's a way for us to listen to each other. And one of the things that in the instructions that the priests got, the pastors got, was that we're not supposed to be present for the listening sessions. Now, with that being said, I led the first one after the 8 o'clock mass one Wednesday morning. And it was a wonderful discussion. And, you know, a lot of the things that bring us joy, you know, the Eucharist, reconciliation, you know, coming together as a community of faith. And there were things that broke hearts, you know, and they spoke from their experience. And that's what we want to hear. It's not what I see, but it's what I have experienced. You know, what have I experienced that brings me joy in the church? What have I experienced that breaks my heart in the church? Okay. So that is good. So it's, I think it's going to be good. And this is a Marty tangent as well, too. But in the Synod of 2001, and I think that was on the Bible, is that right?
I believe it was.
Yeah. But it was interesting because there's like three cardinals that head up, you know, kind of the main synod. And one of the cardinals picked for that was Cardinal Egan from New York.
Okay.
And the synod was going to meet, you know, like the 1st of October of 2001.
Right.
Well, what happened 3 weeks before that in New York? You had the 9/11 attacks. And Egan flew to Rome, Cardinal Egan, I'm sorry, flew to Rome. And when he got there, he's like, I shouldn't be here. And he got on a plane and flew right back to New York. He goes, I need to be with my people. Well, guess who took his place? The Cardinal Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Jorge Bergamo. Yeah. And they say that's how he got his name known in cardinal circles, bishop circles. And of course, 12 years later, he was elected our Holy Father.
Okay.
So that's the rumor. One of those wives' tales. So, Marty tangents.
Very interesting.
Now we've had a tangent within a tangent already this evening. So we're off to a good start.
So one thing I'd like to add is, what does the word synod mean? Am I throwing a zinger at you there, or is it just
synod? I had it in the bulletin.
I was going to say I read the bulletin, and it was walking together or
walking
journeying together.
Journeying together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walking together. So it's a meeting where we walk together and listen to each other. Good. Good.
And also, it is another opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds, touch our hearts, and strengthen our will so that we may know more and make the church grow, you know. Every time the church is growing, so through synod, the church gets more from the people by talking, by sharing.
Okay. So are there any more listening sessions scheduled then?
Yes. We have one March 20th following the 8 o'clock Mass, and March 26th following the 4 p.m. Mass.
Oh, okay.
And then the parish council, the finance councils are going to do one. And so the other thing too, and I find this, and I hope that this works, because Bishop Zinkula has asked our confirmation classes to do one. And so, and he'll take that information when he meets with our confirmandi before the Mass and talk to them about what brings them joy and what breaks their heart about the church. And one of the things that Bishop Zinkula has changed with that compared to Bishop Amos and Bishop Franklin is that he doesn't allow the sponsors down there with him or any adults. So, you know, Father Dennis or I or Father Mike, you know, we can't be down there. You know, he wants to talk to the kids because, you know, his thought is that the kids are going to say more if there's no adults around.
Good idea.
And so I think that's a great idea. So
So it's definitely an exercise worth doing.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
Very much so.
Okay. So How's everybody's Lent going? Have we had grilled cheese sandwiches yet?
We still have to do grilled cheese here in the rectory, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Are you going to wait till Father James gets back from retreat?
Yes. I was going to do it tomorrow night, but there's a big event in Burlington tomorrow night called the Snow Bowl.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For the first time in my 10 years here in Burlington, I'm going to go to the Snow Bowl. I'm not quite sure about this.
Everybody be alert now.
Yes.
You know, if the sirens go off, you know that Father Marty needs you.
I'll be there too.
Bring your anointing oil, okay?
Yes.
Okay. Because I hear you're going to be riding a bull. Is that true?
I will try.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be home in bed.
You won't do a marathon, but you'll ride a bull?
Yeah.
Okay.
You never know.
Okay, another thing I noticed in Adoration Friday night was the first two Sundays of Lent only had one gospel. Mm-hmm. And week 3, 4, and 5 both have alternate gospels from year A, from the book of John. Why just the last three instead of all five?
Okay. So the year A gospels are for the catechumens, so those who are coming into the church who have not been baptized. And so you do the year A gospels, the woman at the well, the man born blind,
okay,
and Lazarus coming forth from the tomb.
Okay.
And what it is it, the first week reminds us of our baptism, that Jesus is the living water. The second one is Jesus is the true light of the world. So the way that I look at it is, in baptism, you receive the lighted candle, you know, Jesus guides the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third is that our baptism is a plunge into death so that we may rise to new life like Lazarus did. And so also on those Sundays, there's what's called the scrutinies, and it scrutinizes the heart, the soul of the person coming into the church so that they can be totally ready to receive the sacraments of initiation. Now, every year we have the option. We can every year during Lent, 3, 4, 5, we can use the A readings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I love the A readings. And this is another Marty tangent. Do you remember Father Gorman Sullivan from Mundelein?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure
if he presented at one of our clergy days or not. But he taught us at Mundelein, and he said there are four Sundays that you really don't need a homily, that the scriptures speak for themselves. And they're the third Sunday A, fourth Sunday A, fifth Sunday A of all of Lent, and Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they are longer gospels because they do, you know, they spread themselves out. But, you know, the gospel for this Sunday that we could use for the third Sunday, the woman at the well is just phenomenal.
Oh, it's great. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the water jar and everything. And what I remember most about that is 2 years ago on that very Sunday, that was our last Sunday together before the churches, I hate to use the word closed, because I don't think the church ever closed.
No. Mm-hmm.
You know, but when we couldn't have public mass, that was our last Sunday, was the woman at the well. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's just wonderful.
It's interesting how all these things kind of interact and interface with each other, you know, and they have an effect on our lives, too,
mm-hmm,
very much.
Yeah. And I love, you know, and I'm a fan of the C Lenten readings as well, too, that we're going to get into tonight. This first one really confuses me. The beginning part really confuses me.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the second part with the fig tree. Next week is the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third week, we jump into the Gospel of John. But there's some who think that he just ripped it out of Luke and they didn't put it back into Luke.
Yeah.
The woman caught in adultery. But it's that mercy and forgiveness piece in year C.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into the... Go ahead, yeah, Father Dennis, you... Let's go ahead and jump into the gospel here then for the third Sunday of Lent. We're going to feature tonight the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, which includes the parable of the barren fig tree. And the posse will also be exploring the fifth precept of the Catholic Church, you shall help to provide for the needs of the church. And when we were pairing up Gospels, this is the one we had the most trouble figuring out where to put it. Because the sacrifice and the themes for Lent don't necessarily fit with providing for the needs of the church. Mm-hmm. So, but this is where it wound up, so we're going to talk about it tonight. Father Mike, you're going to read the gospel for us tonight?
And there's no surprise why you gave it to me, right? Thank you. Okay, the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all the other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." For those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all likewise perish. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now have I come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but I have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Father Mike. Okay, so I'm going to split the reading tonight into the first half and the second half. The first half is a pretty heavy lift. The first half is repent or perish. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is.
So it doesn't really matter what our sins are or how they compare to other people's sins. We're all sinners. So were the sinners killed by the tower that fell on them worse sinners than the other sinners? What are they trying to get to?
I think our Lord answers that question by saying he asked that question, and then he answers it himself by saying, "By no means." In other words, sometimes people judge other people by what they've done. In fact, almost always they judge other people by what they've done, and they feel a sense of security in that a lot of times, because mm-hmm. they figure, "I'm not as bad as that person." And yet that isn't the standard so much as our Lord uses. The standard I think that he uses, and our Lord was trying to get at, is the standard of the judgment of the heart. In other words, what's the intention that a person is activating a person, you know? And many times that judgment of the heart can be much worse because it's so interior than what other people think. And we shouldn't be judging anybody. I mean, only God is the judge. So often in my own prayer life, one of my refrains when I pray is that, "Thank God I'm not God. Thank God I don't have the weight of judgment," you know? When you look at evil in the world and you look at what people are doing in the world, whether they're public figures or private individuals, you know, we can't always judge the reasons why a person does what he or she does. In fact, we shouldn't judge it at all. We should use the standard that our Lord says. And I think that had a lot to do with what he uses as an example in today's gospel.
Yeah, I want also to add that during the time of Jesus, there was a belief that if you are successful in life, if your life is good, it is a sign that God is loving you. You are gaining favor from God. So if something happens to you, they were attributing this to your life. That means you are a sinner. So you have this problem because you I mean, because of your sins, God is punishing you. So Jesus is trying to teach them the right message. You remember the example of the rich man who was feeling like, I love God, I have followed all the commandments, and I am also rich. But Jesus told him, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. He was surprised because he was believing that, you know what, I am a good person because I follow the commandments and the other things. So Jesus today is trying to teach the people that those who get troubles or problems, like in this case, they are not because they are sinners. No, everyone can get such a problem. What is important is to repent and try to avoid sins.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that entered my mind when I was thinking about this was that in the Old Testament, I don't remember if it was the Pharisees or the scribes or who said it, but they said, who sinned that this man was born blind?
That's in John 9.
In John 9.
Okay. Yeah, that's the second Sunday that we can use the year A readings. The second.
Oh, okay.
The second Sunday.
But it's not even in the Old Testament.
I don't think it is.
But. See, I got to get my Bible straight.
Yeah, that's the same message. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think one of the points that struck me in listening to Father Dennis is that when people concentrate on who is responsible, they lose sight when they talk about sin. They start judging their brothers and sisters. That's a terrible thing. You shouldn't have done it, and I can't believe it, and I would never do that myself, and all that kind of stuff. They lose sight of what is the second half of this part of Scripture, and that is the repentance. You know, they never think in terms of my repentance.
Mm-hmm.
I love what we did on Ash Wednesday, repent and believe the good news. Well, unless you repent, you can't possibly believe the good news. Unless you believe the good news beforehand, you're not concentrating on repenting. You're concentrating on who's responsible for the evil or the sin, especially personal sin that affects everybody individually. If you concentrate on that, you lose sight of the fact that there needs repentance, individual repentance for all the things that we've done ourselves, community repentance, communal repentance, for the whole things that our culture is responsible for and that we participate in. So I think that's really important. And it takes away from the magnificence of God's mercy that comes along later on, too, I think. So,
yes.
Yeah. Sin hurts us all.
Yes. Yep.
Sin hurts us all.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. In trying to connect the fifth precept of supporting the church with the reading tonight, I kind of came up with this, and I'll run this by you and see what you think. The guidelines for Lent, and I've heard this several times this week from different sources, are prayer, fasting, and giving alms.
Yes.
And we would hope that everybody is praying more in these weeks of Lent leading up to Easter. And we talked about fasting in great detail in our first episode. In week one, and anybody who wants to listen to that, it's posted on kcdmradio.org, and the second week will be posted on there after tonight, which is Thursday we're recording this. The third guideline is giving alms. So my question is, what are alms, and how or who do we give alms to?
Well, alms are, you know, what God has blessed us with so much. And so alms is what we give back to, for me, it's what we give back to God and to help serve the poor. So a great example of almsgiving would be the rice bowl. You know, when we talked about that in the first episode, you know, I've gotten into frozen Cokes at McDonald's. I love these frozen Cokes. You know, and I know that every time I go, it's going to cost me $1.92. So why not sacrifice that and put $1.92 each time I want to get a frozen Coke into my rice bowl? Here's the way that I look at it with the fig tree as well, too. You got time for a parable? Do you have time for a parable?
Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't take long. So there was a man who had nothing. And then God gave him 10 apples. Three were to eat, and so he ate three. Three were for clothing, and so he traded three for clothing to wear. Three were for shelter, and so he traded three for shelter from the weather. And one was for the man to return to God in gratitude. He looked at the last apple. It seemed larger and juicier than the rest. He knew it had been given to him to return to God in gratitude for the other apples, but he reasoned that God had all the other apples in the world, and so he ate the last apple and gave back to God the core. God has given you enough for your needs, plus that which you may return to him to show your gratitude. Will you return to God the largest and juiciest of your apples, or just the core?
Very good. I like that.
And the way that, you know, and this is the way that I start each of our finance meetings when I'm asked to do the prayer. You know, we've been entrusted with the gifts of so many. And can we be good stewards of those gifts? Even through COVID, people supported the parish. And as I tell people, you know, the parishioners, I don't get my, you know, paycheck from the Diocese of Davenport.
Sure.
You know, it comes from the giving of, you know, Divine Mercy and St. Mary's parishioners in Dodgeville.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are so generous. And yet sometimes we try to hold back from God what God has given to us because, and I think it's that worry, that fear that I'm not going to have enough. And yet, God provides.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that, you know, one of the things, and I don't know when you were a pastor, if you ever worried about reaching ADA goal.
All the time.
And Barb, you know, my former bookkeeper, would say, Father, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. And every year we're over goal.
Mm-hmm.
So why worry? The people are so good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And on a personal note, I've seen that, you know, with the, you know, the fundraiser that the school did and people stepping up to help me in that. And the only thing that I can offer is my gift back to God, which is, you know, and my hashtag for that is ping. P-I-N-G, prayers and gratitude.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay.
You know, and the symbol that I use, and someone made it for me for my thank you notes, is, you know, the hands open with the heart in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that prayer and gratitude.
Sure.
And when we have that spirit of gratitude, we want to give God the best.
And you're following in the footsteps of great saints like Saint Mother Teresa. She refused to allow the people who helped her with her order as it became worldwide, she refused to allow them to have any kind of campaign. This is not maybe not the best example in the middle of our diocesan campaign. She refused to allow them to do things to make money because she said God will provide. And he did. He does, you know. And I think that's important. But even in the middle of the problems that we have and trying to get enough resources and all that, I think we have to pay attention first and foremost to what you're saying, Father Marty, and that is the generosity of the people. Because when I was a pastor, I remember one of the years I was pastor at St. Patrick's, we discovered that we had a faulty roof,
mm-hmm.
and it came to $16,000 or $17,000 to just not replace it, but just fix it temporarily. It was the same weekend that I was to announce a big campaign for Notre Dame High School, and I wasn't even in the church because they wouldn't let us have Mass in the church because of the faulty roof. So I was out at St. Mary's in West Burlington, thanks to the generosity of the pastor out there, and I was preaching, half of the people that I was preaching to weren't even my own parishioners. So I thought, this is going to be a disaster. And they came through. Everybody came through for the poor little people over at St. Patrick's, and I'm forever grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, I want also to to add that almsgiving or charitable acts are related to our faith. It is the fulfillment of one of the obligations of our faith. Yes, you can follow the commandments, you can receive the sacraments, that is good. But one of the things we have to do is to remember that what we have them because it is just a gift from God. Of course, we have to participate by working, by doing other activities to get more. But at the end, you remember that, oh, what I have, it is because of the love of God. Mm-hmm. So now, how do you show that gratitude to others? By sharing what you have with the others. And it helps to avoid the spirit of selfishness. It helps you to control even the ego. And by so doing, you grow even in faith. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said that I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. And so on and so forth. So by doing charitable acts, that is how you can see the needy who needs your support. And through that act, it is just God who is doing that.
And we also have to remember that supporting the church doesn't just mean money.
Right.
That we always hear you say time, talent, and treasure.
Right. And treasure is a part of it. But also we need your time and talent. And one of the things, you know, that we have so many gifts here, you know, like music. Mm-hmm. You know, we have great lectors. You know, people who, behind the scenes, who work at St. Vincent de Paul, who go to the hospital to give communion. And there's just so much that people give of their time and talent as well, too. And that's where, and I just kind of want to do this real quick, but the first reading for the third Sunday is God appearing to Moses in the bush. And I love it because Moses has four excuses why he should not be the one. Okay? And here it is. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? So who am I? Okay? They will ask me, what is his name? What shall I tell them? No one will believe me. But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you. And then, of course, I am not a public speaker. Okay? I've never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Please send someone else. And then here's the counter to all that. I am nobody. Well, who was Peter? You know, who was Mary Magdalene or Augustine or Maximilian Kolbe? You know, who am I? You know, do you ever wonder why God called someone like me to be a priest? Do you ever wonder that?
No, I have never wondered that about you.
I mean about yourself, about you, you know, that. You know, but,
no,
you know it's
I
that.
Agree.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. You know, but we also conduct our call that way. Hey, sure. I'm nobody. What can I give? So we duck it.
Sure.
You know, I'm a nobody. I don't know your name. Well, whose fault's that? You know? You know, do we take the time to read the Bible? To deepen our prayer life. You know, one of the things, and I probably shouldn't say this because I'm going to call my nephew out on this one.
Okay.
But he's a golfer, but he also told me real quick one time before we played golf that he didn't believe in God anymore. He was an atheist.
Mm.
Because science can prove that God doesn't exist. And I kind of let that go because, you know, it's family and religion and that.
Sure.
And we were on one of the holes. And he hit a shot. He duck hooked it. It started left and it continued to go left. Hmm. And the club went flying. And I'm like, well, that's probably your best shot of the farthest shot of the day right there. But then we get the two words. God. Now, I won't say it.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm like, no. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, you can't blame God for a bad golf shot. You don't believe in him. You know, so you know it's that, you know, if you know, if we don't know, you know, it's hard for us to give what we don't already have. Okay, no one will believe me. You know, they say it took Moses over a year to convince Pharaoh. Okay, And sometimes it's going to take time. And then I love this one. I am no public speaker. Mm-hmm. And that our version of that excuse is I have nothing to offer. Mm-hmm. I'm not that important. So I'll bury the gift God gave me, call someone else. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's like what you said, and it's spiritual work of mercy.
That's right.
To bury the dead. And do you remember when funeral lunches became popular?
Oh, gosh, that goes way beyond me.
Okay.
back a long time ago. Probably when people in the community wanted to do something, and they want to do something very personal. And food has always been associated with funerals.
Oh, yeah.
Where people always bring food in the United States. I don't know about Africa, but
for us, they bring drinks.
They bring drinks?
Yeah, beer.
You've got to go for it. That's the question.
In heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't remember when it became an official custom.
Yeah. But just think of that. You know, I was hungry and you gave me food. The people who bring a simple dessert or salad
right.
to a funeral luncheon.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, they're following that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I go back, you know the fig tree was producing no fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the complaints that I hear an awful lot about the church is that we're always asking for money.
Absolutely.
You know?
I hear that a lot.
Well, guess what? I went in the Casey's today for lunch to get a piece of pizza. I was going to walk out without paying for it, but they wanted their money. You know? you know, I stopped to put gas in my car yesterday. I'm not happy that I'm paying $3.99 a gallon for gas.
It's going up.
It's going up. But you know what? I had to pay for it. I go to the grocery store. I'm going to pay for the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
We don't survive without the generosity of the people that make up this parish. And that's what it comes down to. And yes, sometimes we do have to talk about money. But guess what? So did Jesus.
Absolutely.
What's the majority of his parables on?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Because if we don't get the support of the church, and not just treasure, but time and talent as well, we're going to wither and die.
And Jesus said, go. It's like Father Dennis said, Jesus says, go and give all you have to the poor and come mm-hmm. follow me. You know?
And maybe that's where the connection with the withered fruit is, or with the tree that doesn't produce fruit. Maybe we're going to wither and die, like Father suggested. Certainly if we're not conscious of the fact that, first of all, like a tree that gathers its nutrients from the earth, so also we are individual human beings who are gathering the nutrients that make us what God wants us to be from our brothers and sisters. And so we all have a stake in this. I'm always impressed with the Old Testament command, really, of giving the first fruits of everything to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I, for a long time, I never understood what that meant exactly. I don't know if I do now or not, but the idea of first fruit was you whatever you're producing, whether it's fruit or whether it's grain or whatever it's wine, whatever it is, you take the very first, the very best of what it is, and you reserve that for the Lord. Not all of it, not even a substantial percentage of it, but you take the very best, a little bit of the very best, and you give that to the Lord, you know. And I just think that's so important because it fulfills not only the commandment to have some for God, but it really takes that whole desire within the human person of giving back to the one who gave us to begin with.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And I think that's what it's all. It's that interior attitude that I was talking about earlier.
Yes.
And isn't that where tithing comes from? Isn't that kind of the mm-hmm. principle of tithing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think also we, in this gospel of Jesus and about the fig tree, there is this point of letting the fig tree for more time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Important aspect.
This is very important because it shows how God gives us more time to renew our life. Because he said that this fig tree, if you leave it for more time so that we may cultivate and fertilize and do something, probably we'll get more fruits. And that is how we are. God is giving us more time. We are in this time of Lent. This is another opportunity which God gives us so that we may bear fruit, so that we may see what we have inside and look at our lives and change and make something. So it is very, 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 very touching.
One of the great qualities of God, which we didn't spend much time with in the seminary in theology class, but I am, it always hits me whenever I think about God and his qualities, is that quality of generosity. Mm-hmm. You know, God is, he's all loving, he's all kind, he's all merciful, he's eternal, all those other qualities that we spend a lot of time with. But he's generous. You know, he does, there's no limit to his generosity. And when, even in the natural order, look at the sun, you know, 95% of the energy of the sun to us looks like it's wasted because it goes out into space. And yet everything comes from the remaining 5% or 6% or whatever it is, might even be much less than that. Even in the physical realm, look how much to us seems to be spilled over and wasted when, you know, when it comes from God's generous hand. So he's that way with us too. He wants us to have, gives us excuses, you know, even on the cross, you know, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they know not what they do. They knew what they were doing, but he wants to give an excuse. And so I think that shows a whole different aspect of the quality of God.
On the cross, he gave them the benefit of the doubt, absolutely, just like he gives us the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, Father Dennis, because, and that's the part, and I think this is a good lead in the next week as well, too, with reconciliation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, one of the things, the way that I start my confession is usually, God of the second chance, here I am again. You know.
Oh, that God, this year, I wanted to ask you, do I get to hear your confession this year?
You might.
That's a priest's worst
fear. I don't know if you have that time, though.
That's a priest's worst fear that we might have to go to each other.
But, you know, it's that, you know, and God's going to give us that second chance. And like the fig tree, you know, and also, I love it there, you know, when the guy says, you know, give me a year with it. Let me nurture it. Yeah. And you know, God's going to continue to say, you know, give me another year with it. I'll nurture the heart. I'll nurture the soul. Mm-hmm. Let's find some good soil there. Mm-hmm. And I think when we come to see that good soil and how God has touched our life, we're more apt to give back to God.
Mm-hmm. And how does that affect our relationship with God? That's what's so beautiful. Not our relationship as much as our attitude toward God, you know? Yep. We're not afraid of God anymore. We have all kinds of reasons to be, maybe, but we see a side of God that we don't allow ourselves to see. He's merciful. He's more anxious for our salvation than we are for ourselves. And I think that's a unique insight and a marvelous way to look at God. Mm-hmm. I think one of the great problems, and we're all going to face it, no matter who we think we are, at the end of our life, one of the great disappointments that we're going to have to face with God is we're going to see a small, hopefully it's a very, very small note of disappointment. Not because of our sins, not because that we never measured up to what we should measure up to, but he's going to be a little disappointed in the best of us because we haven't trusted him enough. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really important. And all these other things that we're talking about tonight indicate an attitude, an intention of trust that we should have towards God. Mm-hmm. And nothing better does that than generosity on his part. So,
yeah. Because I think when it comes down to it, that when we offer our alms, our gift to God, It's a trust.
Sure it is. Mm-hmm.
You know. And that's the other thing too, I think that's important, is that you know, once we give our gift, you know, it's out of our hands.
Right. Sure.
It's, you know, and as gift, you know, it's like we entrust the other to do what is best with that.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we do at Mass. You know, when you're offering the Eucharist at Mass before it's consecrated, you're giving that to the Heavenly Father. It's out of your hands. Yeah.
And also sometimes people fail to differentiate a humanitarian act, like giving money during one activity, which is not even connected to the church, and the giving alms. Mm-hmm. There are two different things. You can donate or give some money to your friend without even connecting it to faith. Mm-hmm. That is a humanitarian act. But when you do alms, that means a charitable act which is related to your faith is different. So the this which is related to your faith has a merits, but the other one is just to be a nice person. Mm-hmm.
See, and one of the things that I want to share tonight, too, is that, you know, we stand in front of folks and ask them to tithe, you know, to give generously to the church, to the diocese. And one of the things is the parish does the same. And I don't know if you know that or not, but we give a percent of every month's income, ordinary income, envelopes, offertory, and we tithe that to Transitions DMC. So we support, you know, those who are in need, you know, that way. And there's not a whole lot of people that come to the door that I don't think we've turned away. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're out of funds. We've had to.
Right.
You know, but I'm always reminded of what Pope Francis says too, you know, that person could be Jesus in disguise. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, you know, there's, you know, you said, you know, about the trust. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two things that, that worry me when I get to the gates. One, is the person greeting me at the gates going to have the face of the person I like the least on this earth? And it's nobody sitting at this table, I can tell you that. Okay? And the other thing, too, is, am I going to see the face of someone that I said no to if they needed a buck or something?
That you've seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, that, you know, a lot of times, you know, you give like to the person holding the sign on the street. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get taken advantage of.
Sure.
You know, but that goes back to the gift. In faith, I give that gift to the person thinking they're going to do what's best. You know, what they do with it, they're going to have to answer to God for.
That's right.
I'm going to have to answer to God for what he asked me to do.
Right.
And what he asked me to do was to care for the poor.
Yeah. And that's where the lack of judgment comes in. Because if you have a habit, a virtue, a habit of not judging other people, no matter what happens to you personally, you're not going to make a bad judgment. You know, I think of that marvelous scene in Jesus of Nazareth. Goes back before you guys' time, maybe. But where one of the apostles comes to Jesus, it's early morning, and they had all spent the night in the same area there. And one of this apostle's terribly upset because somebody has invaded their little enclave and stolen his coat. And, I mean, he's really upset. He's cursing, and he's really, you know, Jesus just listens, you know. And then finally he puts his hand on the man's shoulder, and he says, called him by name, and he says, well, maybe he needed it more than you did.
Yeah.
I mean, what about an unbelievable non-judgmental response? Probably elicited more curses from the apostle, but still, maybe he needed it more than you did. Wonder if we kind of confronted all the reversals of our life in that kind, with that kind of an attitude. Yeah. First of all, you wouldn't have the ulcers that most of us suffer from, and so secondly, you know, you'd be walking in the way of the master. So,
all right, go ahead.
Yeah, I think also in relation to giving, there is an element of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is an element of sacrifice. Sometimes you really need something, but for the greater good of the church, you do something. Even we priests, we have sacrificed our life for the good of the church, for the good of the people. You offer yourself. So everyone in the church does something. You offer your time. I offer my life. Another one will offer maybe money or other gifts, and the church can grow in that direction. When it is at the level of the parish, as Father Mighty has said, We support one another. We support the people. We have the school, not them. You support the kids. And the diocese is the same. It sends some of the income to Rome, and Rome also brings back what we support. So that is how the church is built, and it is a tradition of the church, which is really, really making the church great.
All right.
And I'll give one more thing, because I had the honor to give communion at Mother Teresa's canonization mass.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, there was, what, 125,000 people there. That's a lot of host, you know? Well, then, you know, they had about 400 of us go out into the crowd to give communion. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they gave us all a stole. You know, they gave us all, we had to bring our own cassock. I know that probably surprises you, I have my own cassock. But but I think they gave us...
It surprises me you wear it.
Oh, okay. which I did when I was MC. But, you know, they supplied us with the surplus for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we, you know, we get done. We're back into the middle of St. Peter's Basilica, and we're like, "What are we supposed to do with these?" And some guy's like, "Just throw them here on the table."
Really?
That's a lot of laundry.
Yes, it is. Oh.
But that's where some of our Peter's pence goes to, to help pay for 125,000 hosts, and you know, and the launder, you know, 400 surpluses and stoles and everything. And. And the other thing, too, I kind of want to talk about, I think we have time, don't we?
Yeah.
Because one of the things is, you know, is why do we decorate our churches? Why do we get the best vestments and chalices and that?
Sure.
Why can't we just give that money to the poor? Well, it's as Jesus said, the poor will always have with us, but shouldn't we give our best to God?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that we go nuts.
Right.
Okay? You know, I'm not going to buy some $25,000 chalice to use once a year.
Yeah.
You know, but I think it needs to be nice well, too. And you know, it's one of the things that we bring back to the kids, because usually it's the kids, we should give that money to the poor, not buy stuff for the church.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you wear to the prom? Did you wear, you know, your jeans and a t-shirt? Oh,
no! No, well, spend big money on that dress.
Yeah. So, you know, it's but I like what you said. I think it comes down to an attitude of gratitude.
Sure it does.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I like what you said, because you mentioned that we don't go nuts one way or another. We are reasonable in what we're doing, you know. Did you hear about that priest a couple of years ago that had a $5,000 bathtub?
Yeah.
And the Pope Francis got all over him about it, because he said, you know, we don't need things like that. And the priest just went nuts on decorating his rectory. And I think that's where we, in a sense, we could be responsible for some of the criticism that comes our way about using too much. But I don't think the blame is all in one direction there. I think we have to be reasonable. Like St. Thomas said, in medias tot virtus, virtue, reason, is in the middle of the extremes. Yeah. And as long as we follow that, we're going to be all right.
Amen.
All right. So basically, we need to spend the rest of Lent fertilizing the soil with the grace that's provided by God in the Mass, confession, and the sacraments, and prayer. And this third week of Lent is about using our time, talent, and treasures to support our brothers and sisters in the vineyard so we don't all get cut down.
Amen.
I agree.
All right.
Thank you.
Father Dennis, would you like to give us a closing blessing?
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of the day. Thank you also for this special moment of sharing the teachings and the life of the Church with our listeners. It has helped us and our listeners to see the need of supporting the Church to fulfill her mission of spreading the good news to everyone, now and forever. Mary, Mother of our Creator, Pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father Dennis.
You're welcome.
I would just like to take this opportunity to reach out to the listeners. If you would be interested in sending in an idea for a show that the Pastoral Posse could talk about in the future, we're hoping to keep this going way after Lent. So we're asking you to either call 319-343-6734 and leave a voicemail for us, or send an email to webmaster@kcdmradio.org with your idea for a show. We are interested in finding out what you want to hear about. I thank you, Father Dennis, Father Marty, Father Mike, for sharing your perspective on the Gospel of Luke and the precepts of the Catholic Church with us. Again, it's wonderful to have 97 years of ministry experience here with the three of you. Pastor's perspective for next week will be the fourth Sunday of Lent, and will feature the Pastoral Posse proclaiming and discussing the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 3 and 11 through 32. We will also be exploring getting a second chance with the second precept of the Catholic Church: you shall confess your sins at least once a year.
Wow. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, yes, it'll be interesting to see what you all come up with. tune in next week. We will, when we gather around the dining table at the St. John's Rectory, and listen to the pastor's perspective. I thank everyone for tuning in tonight and look forward to next week.
God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can hear Pastor's Perspective every evening at 9 o'clock after the Rosary on KCDM. You can also pick up the show at 5 p.m. on Saturdays and 2 p.m. on Sundays.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.